Take your Bible, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter number 21. Please, if you will, make sure that your cell phone is turned off so it does not go off during our service. Revelation chapter number 21. I want you to find verse number 4. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. If you want, you may keep your Bible open to this spot. I refer to Scripture here over and over again. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. Would you please stand with me, please? Please stand. And I'm going to read this one verse to us, and we're going to use it to launch into today's sermon. Revelation 21, verse number 4. And the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." This scripture, of course, is about heaven. And let's pray. Father, bless us today as we go into this important subject in a unique and a special way. We need this. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you will help every person to listen and listen quietly and appropriately. And might we be encouraged about that place called heaven. Bless us now with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. This Saturday morning, I was in preparation for Betty Andrews' homegoing, and at the same time, we were expecting a new baby here in the church. And on Saturday morning, Jacqueline Reapsummer was born. I ran up to the hospital, and that sweet little girl had been placed in the warmer, and she was there when they were still working on her a little bit, and I got to go in and pray and spend just a moment with them. But I'm going to tell you something. That little gal, she was crying. She was whooping it up. I mean, she was making noise. She's glad to be out, and but she was crying there, and those sweet little baby tears. I got in my car, and then I drove to a homegoing service. And again, I watched tears. And they were tears, of course, because our hearts are heavy. Someone we love had transferred. But I tell you what else. I really believe there were some tears of joy because somebody that we love is not suffering, and because we believe in heaven. In Revelation 21, verse number 4, there's a unique thing about heaven. I'm glad that God told us this. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." And it actually says there will be no more crying. Wow, that's so exciting. You have to excuse me. I've got a really strange mind. I was thinking about tears, and I was thinking about Jacqueline and her tears. And I tell you what I got thinking about. I got to thinking about the product, Johnson's Baby Shampoo. You know why? Yeah, no more tears. No more tears. There it is. No more tears. I call this sermon, "God Shall Wipe Away All Tears," or Johnson's Heavenly Product. Johnson's Heavenly Product. See, the Bible says when we get to heaven, God's going to wipe away tears. Life is full of hardships and difficulties, but God said, when we get to heaven, there won't be that weeping, won't happen anymore. And notice, it is not Jesus who wipes away the tears, it's God Himself. In Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears." Wow. The Heavenly Father will wipe away tears in heaven. Well, there'll be no more sorrow in heaven, so there'll be no tears. He'll wipe away those tears. I don't think we're going to have tear ducts in our glorified bodies. I think for some reason God is making it so that we, of course, when you have the absence of pain and the struggles of life, then those tears, they're not necessary anymore. It was David in the Old Testament that said, "Put thou my tears in a bottle." Well, David, we won't need that bottle anymore because there won't be tears anymore. David cried tears because of a mistake with Bathsheba. David cried tears over the killing of Uriah. And David cried tears over the loss of his son's loyalty. And David cried tears over the loss of a son to death. But you know what? David, when he got to heaven, he found out no more tears. Just like Johnson's baby shampoo. No more tears. In my office, I have Kleenex, a box of Kleenex. We went to the homegoing service for Betty yesterday. Mrs. Owens took some Kleenexes for some of the family so they would have them. But you know, in heaven, no tears. They didn't have to pass out Kleenex when Betty entered heaven. They didn't have to pass out a bunch of Kleenex because no more tears. No one will cry themselves to sleep in heaven. No babies crying in heaven. No more need. This product is not going to be needed up there. You don't need no more tears baby shampoo because there'll be no more tears. There'll be no widows crying in heaven and no parents weeping in heaven. In Luke chapter 7, verse 38, the Bible talks about Mary and she washed Jesus' feet with her tears. I'm glad she did it down here. She couldn't have used her tears up there. The Bible says in Genesis 21:16 that Hagar wept, but not in heaven. In Exodus 2:6, it said that Moses wept, but not in heaven. In 2 Kings 8:11, Elisha wept, but no more, not in heaven. In Luke 22:62, Peter wept, but not in heaven. In 2 Samuel 15:23, it is said that a whole country wept. But folks, when you and I get to heaven, the tears will be wiped away and there will be no more tears. Heaven's a wonderful place. It's a real place. The Bible gives many descriptions to heaven, or gives it a lot of different names. It's called the city of the living God. It's called the heavenly country. In the Bible, God calls heaven a place of many mansions. Some just call it glory. It's our eternal inheritance. It's a land that is fairer than day. It's a land that is far off. It is referred to as paradise. It's called heaven. It's called the place of God's throne. It's called the holy place. It's called the place of joy. Heaven's called the place of reward. Heaven's called a place of beauty. Heaven is called the place of the river of life. Heaven's called the place where the angels are. God said heaven is a place where we're separated from wickedness. Heaven is the home of God settled eternally. And it's the home of God's word. Heaven is the place of God's glory. If you've lost a loved one and they've passed on to heaven, let this sermon comfort you. Maybe you know someone that will soon pass. A sermon like this will comfort them. For all of us who are born again, let me tell you, sooner or later, we'll all make a transfer to heaven. So it's probably a good idea to know about this place where we're going. And I really want to tell you about some of the things that we're going to be spared from. You know, it's a we often look at all the wonderful things that are in heaven and Jesus and the angels. Let me tell you about some of the things that we will not have to struggle with and some of the things that we will not have to suffer with. When we lose someone to heaven, and it's maybe our loss, but I'll guarantee you, it is their gain. Anybody that's gone on to heaven, they love it there, and they don't want to come back down here with you and I. It's not because they don't miss us. They do miss us, but they want us to come up to them. Why? Because heaven is so wonderful, and heaven is so exuberant and exciting. And the Bible says that there's no way that human words could adequately describe heaven. We just don't have what it takes to describe it in such an excellent way. But when you get to heaven, you'll see exactly what I mean. There's a lot of wonderful things there, but there are some things that won't be there. Let me read some of them to you. For instance, the Bible tells us that there, when in heaven, and this seemed a little odd at first to me, it says in Revelation 21:1, "And I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." No sea. And I thought, well, what, why no more sea? Now that I have been out on the water during a hurricane, I know why there will be no more sea in heaven. They can have that in the other place, but not in heaven. When Jesus describes the last days, he describes persecutions and distresses, and then he adds the fact of the sea and the waves roaring. He speaks of men's hearts failing them because of the roaring of the sea. You know, the sea is restless. The sea is tempestuous. The sea has waves, and the sea, there's turmoil on the sea. And I really believe one reason God said that when we get to heaven, there will be no more sea. He's trying to tell us it will be calm. You will not have the waves there. You will not be reminded of the waves of life. Twice in the Scripture, Jesus came to the disciples and calmed the waves. The sea is restless. And there's a restlessness about the sea. But there will be no more sea because heaven is a place of peace. Heaven is a place where things are still. The Bible even compares the wicked. It says the wicked are as the troubled seas. You know, and we got to face something. The sea separates the continents. In heaven, there'll be no separation between us and anybody. The sea is constantly changing and it's unstable. And I think one reason God said there will be no sea in heaven is because heaven is a stable place. It's a place of stability. And there's no division. And there's no rocking of the waves. It's very calm there. We will have the calm flow of a peaceful river. There's going to be water in heaven. But there's not going to be that sea because God said, that reminds us, if you think about it in the Scripture, He often talks about the raging waves of life and the storms of life. And God, when God says there'll be no sea, He is telling us, I'm removing that comparison because I don't want you to feel like you're getting tossed around in life. Anybody that's in heaven today no longer faces that constant wave of life that seems to sometimes overwhelm us. I'll tell you one thing I'm really glad about this thing of there not being a sea in heaven. There'll be no sharks. I got to tell you, I shouldn't have. But when I was a kid, I watched that show called Jaws. I'm afraid to get in the bathtub with deep water. No more sea. Did you know that Jesus came and He said, peace be still, and the entire sea obeyed Him. He'll never have to say that in heaven because there will not be a sea in heaven to toss us around on the boat on which we float. Hey, according to Micah chapter 7, verse 19, our sins are buried in the deepest sea. Preacher Croom, I was thinking about this. I got excited. You know, there's no sea in heaven, but the Bible says our sins are buried in the deepest sea. That means the sea's gone. Say, what's the big deal? Sins are gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. No wonder God didn't want there to be a sea up there. He'd put our sins as far as the east is from the west and behind His back. And He got spiritual amnesia. But wait, He said, I put them in the depths of the sea. And then He said, heaven couldn't be heaven if those sins were anywhere around. So I'm just not going to have a sea in heaven. We'll have the river of life. There'll be water there. But no more waves. I don't know about you, but it seems like life just has these waves. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with them. God said in heaven, you're not going to face that. You're not even going to have an illustration of it by looking out at a crashing wave coming down or flooding an area. Not only that, I love it. God said there's not going to be sorrow in heaven. It says in Revelation 21, verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears in their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow. Wow, no sorrow. No, I almost can't imagine life without sorrow. Now, the younger you are, the less this makes sense to you. Look up this way, girls. The younger you are, the less this makes sense to you. But the older you are, the more this makes sense to you. Oh, sorrow. The sorrow of life. We tend to go from sorrow to sorrow. You get over one, you get a little bit of time to catch your breath, and then something else hits you. But God said there'll be no more sorrow in heaven. If you know somebody, if your loved one is in heaven today, whether it's grandma from years gone by, or grandpa, a brother, a sister, a friend, they're in heaven. They no longer face the waves of instability of the sea, nor do they face any sorrow. None, zero. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. But there'll be no more trouble. In 1 Samuel 1:15, Hannah said, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Oh, Hannah, don't worry. The moment she walked into heaven, all sorrow had been done away with. She did not have to deal with sorrow anymore. If sorrow here is depression, there'll be no depression in heaven. If sorrow here is loneliness, there'll be no loneliness in heaven. No more sorrow from a husband, maybe that has forsaken or hurt you. No more sorrow from a wife, maybe that has forsaken or hurting you.
No more sorrow from a child who breaks your heart and deeply hurts you. No more sorrow from the in the dark hours of life. No more emotional sorrow. No more mental sorrow. No more sorrow because a family member maybe is a drug addict or an alcoholic and destroying their life. No more sorrow from the defeats of life. Hey, the word sorrow means grieving and hurting with passion. You all know what that is. You grieve and you hurt and you do it deeply. Well, folks, your heart will experience sorrow here, but the minute you walk into glory, the minute you pass to the other side, the minute you go to that place called heaven, all sorrow is done away with. And everybody that's passed on, they're up there and there's no sorrow. It's a wonderful place to be. And then the Bible says there's not going to be pain there. What a deal. No pain. Revelation 21:4, it said, and God said, there shall not be, neither shall there be any more pain. All pain will be gone. No pain from disunity among families. No pain from childbearing. The Bible very clearly talks about giving birth to a child and the pain that a mother goes through to make that happen. That there'll be no pain in childbirth in heaven. No pain from car wrecks in heaven. No pain from work accidents. Not long ago, Brother Kenny Hacker hurt himself at work. And, of course, you know Kenny. He's always falling all over the place anyway. But, hey, no pain when we get to heaven, Brother Kenny. No work accidents. Hey, no pain from death, Tyler. Never again will you have to watch a mama pass. Not up there. No back pain. We have many people in our church that sit here in church and there's discomfort while they sit here because of they're hurt. They've been hurt. Their back. And let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, there'll be no more back pain. No more pain from headaches and no more pain from muscle disease and no more pain from a childhood illness. No more taxes. That's pain. In Job chapter 33, verse number 19, says that Job laid on his bed in pain, having strong pain in his bones. Boy, they say that when disease affects the bones, there's nothing more painful to a person. But let me promise you something. When you get to heaven, there'll be no pain in your bones. You'll have no pain because there's no pain in heaven. God said, I'm not going to let that be there. I'm not going to let pain be there. I'm wiping away all tears. I'll take away all sorrow. I'll even take away the sea that would remind us of the waves and the insecurities of life. No pain. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, Paul speaks of the painfulness of the ministry. And some of you that have been involved in the ministry as you're constantly helping people and loving people and the attack of the devil. Hey, thank God in heaven, no pain. No pain. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of perpetual pain and incurable wounds in Jeremiah 15:18. But no more, Jeremiah. But let me warn you, the Bible makes it very clear in Revelation chapter 16, verse number 10, there is pain in hell. I get to go to heaven because I'm born again and there'll be no pain there. But those that don't trust Christ as Savior, they will face pain and they'll face it like they could have never imagined. But thank God, this place called heaven, this place called glory, just over in the glory land. What a great thought. No sea there. There'll be no sorrow there. He told us there's not going to be weeping there. There'll be no pain there. And then he told us that the curse that came upon man and mankind in the earth way back at the fall of man, that curse will be gone. In Revelation 22:3 it says, and there shall be no more curse. No more curse on the earth. No more thorns on the roses. No more curse on man where he works and the sweat of his brow comes upon him. I remember so many times, I don't mind sweating. I just hate it when it gets in my eyes. Boy, that sweat gets in the eyes and it burns. I'll tell you something. Those of you that work hard that have experienced that, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more sweat dripping into your eyes. No more burning from that sweat. No more drenched shirts and t-shirts. Why? There'll be no, the curse will be gone. The Bible teaches back when the curse came upon man that man would earn his living by the sweat of his brow. But God said when you get to heaven, that curse will be gone. No more curse on the ground. It's lifted. No more thistles. They're gone. The weeds are gone. There may be the rose, and there'll definitely be the rose of Sharon when we get to heaven, but we won't have to worry about the briars and the thistles because that's all a part of the fall. We'll have the heavenly gardens, and they'll be so beautiful. No more curse upon the woman. She'll submit to God, not to sinful man. Won't that be great?
Amen, preacher.
Woman will not suffer in childbirth. The curse multiplied because of her part in the fall. It's all gone. And folks, listen, when we get to heaven, we'll not be growing old anymore, and the body won't wrinkle, and it won't hurt when you sit down and when you stand up, and when you sit down and you can't get up, it won't hurt. No longer man's body will return to dust because we'll have a glorified body. No more will we be separated from God. And you understand, when the fall of man came, there was a curse, and part of the curse was a separation between God and man. Of course, Jesus tried to take care of that when He died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. And He made it so we could, through Jesus Christ, get back to God. But one day, folks, we will be in heaven with God. And the curse that separated us from God will be taken away. Do you understand how much turmoil there is in life? You understand how much turmoil there is just in nature? What we call the act of nature, which is actually God's weather. I don't think there are going to be any tornadoes in heaven. No hurricanes. No tidal waves. No earthquakes. Everything will be calm. When I was growing up, I lived in a part of the country where we had tornado season, much like here we have hurricane season. I'm going to tell you, as a kid, we were taught what to do when the fire department in our town, there would be an alarm that would go off, and there was a place where you were to go and seek shelter. And I have to tell you, more than one time when I was a kid, that fear overwhelmed me. I seen what a tornado could do. You've seen in this area, you've seen what hurricanes can do. You know what can happen when lightning is flying in the sky, but I've got news for you, folks. When we get to heaven, we won't need the Weather Channel and their faulty predictions anymore. You say, why? We won't even need light bulbs, because the light of Jesus Christ will light that place up, and there will be a calm. And I'm not sure what you consider a beautiful morning, but I'll tell you, it was a beautiful morning out there today. But every day it's going to be beautiful in heaven. Those things that came upon the earth because of the curse in heaven, they've been done away with. No more curse. The earth and we can relax. No more serpents slithering under rocks scaring you. I'm not afraid of snakes unless they sneak up on me, and they tend to do that. I needed to turn the water off to our house, and I went out and a little cap near the street, and I went to reach in there, and I wasn't expecting it. And there was a copperhead. And he was as surprised to see me as I was to see him. Now, I'm okay if I see it coming, but I hate the surprise. Let me tell you all something. Every surprise in life that scares you, that'll be gone. Mrs. Owens, she doesn't like mice. She doesn't like bugs. She doesn't like anything that's creepy crawly. She doesn't like spiders. Mrs. Owens, when you get to heaven, you won't have to worry about any of that, because that shock, it doesn't come in heaven. There's a peace, there's a security, there is a tenderness, and heaven is full of it. You know, the Apostle Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake in the New Testament, and an illustration is given. And I say to Paul, if you want to get bit by a snake, you better do it down here, because you can't get bit by a snake in heaven. I don't know why anybody would want to, but he got that over with, and I'm glad that he did. Because in heaven, no illustrations like that. You see, the Bible says that God in heaven stopped the crying. He wiped away those tears. He said there'll not be a sea, because the sea depicts a rough and a rocky way, and it's not that way in heaven. He said there'll be no sorrow in heaven. He said that there's not going to be pain in heaven. There's not going to be the curse in heaven. And then the Bible says there's not going to be night. There's no nighttime. It says in Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night. No more tears in the night. So many times it is in the night that we cry our tears. Maybe it's in the night seasons, but sometimes it's just in the dark. It is required when you're a pastor and you're a leader. It is required that you stand strong. It is required that your faith stands strong. It is required that you keep people encouraged. It's required that you keep people on the positive side of things. And then it's in the night, when it's dark, that I weep most of my tears. And I can't wait. Because someday, I'll get to heaven, and there'll be no more tears. No more tears. But it's in the night. The Bible talks about the night watches and the danger in the night. That there'll be no more, there is night, and then there is dark night. And the Bible calls it two different things. God says there's night and there's dark night. That's that black night. The night when somehow the clouds have covered the moon and the clouds have covered the stars. It's a whole lot darker. A lot darker when you can't see those. We need here on this earth, we need street lights and light bulbs, and we need electricity and flashlights and headlights. Folks, when we get to heaven, there's a pure light that is given to you and I by Jesus Christ. And there's no more night. There's no more bad dreams in the night. There's no more pain from the aches of life in the night. There's no more, the Bible talks about terrors in the night. And I think sometimes we're afraid of the dark. And growing up, I remember a little span of time when, as a little boy, I was afraid of the dark. And if you're not afraid of the dark, come down here to the church about midnight, all by yourself with all the lights out, and just walk around for a little while. Churches talk to you. But I'll tell you something, in heaven there is no more night. And all the fears of the night. We basically, you and I, we try to do our shopping and we do our moving about in the day. Why? There's a security in it. But when you get to heaven, ladies, you can shop 24/7. Doesn't that sound great? Men, that makes it hell for you though, doesn't it? But you don't have to pay. But there's not going to be any night. The robbers, the thieves, the evil of the night. It doesn't exist in heaven because there is no night. No more need of night lights to calm the grade schooler. No more need of security guards at night. No more nighttime loneliness and no more darkness that's thick and scary. Why? In heaven it's light. In heaven there is no night. There is no waves crashing, tormenting us, and no sorrow. In heaven, there is no pain and no curse. And not only that, in heaven, there's no more death. No more death. God said in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. What a great hope. No more death. What a great deliverance. No death. No more pain from death. No more separation from death. No more funerals from death. No more cemeteries from death. If you work in the funeral business, if you work in the mortuary business, you better get your money from us now because you ain't getting any in heaven. You're going to have to pick you a new occupation. Hollinger, you're going to have to pick you a new occupation when you get to heaven because we don't need what you do anymore. Now, right now, we need you. And by the way, Brother Andrews, I think the people we dealt with up there, they sure did treat you well. I thought they were very gracious as we went through Betty's process. But I am going to tell you something. There's no need. When we get to heaven, there's no more funerals. There's no more cemeteries. There's no more hearses. We don't have to worry about no more viewings. No more funeral homes. No more grieving. No more hospice. No more grave markers. No obituaries. No more death because of war, no more death because of disease, no more death because of accidents, no death certificates, no need for life insurance. And the only insurance you need anyway is Jesus Christ when it comes to getting to heaven. Lazarus had a great story. Y'all know the story of Lazarus. He was sick, and someone said, go get Jesus to heal Lazarus. And Jesus didn't get to Lazarus, and Lazarus died, and Jesus came along. And everybody said, well, you know, Jesus, had you been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus went over to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus popped up, and he got his life back. Lazarus, enjoy it while you can. You're never going to do that again. When you get to heaven, there's no need of a resurrection because you're already in a glorified body and you will never die again. You know something? Everybody that's gone to heaven before us, they got the hard part over. They're never going to face that again. It's me and you we ought to be worried about. We're the ones that are going to have to make the transfer. They're in heaven. They will never face death again. No more Lazarus stories. When we get to heaven, there is no death. I was thinking about my day on Saturday. I thought about that new baby. And I could hear that little baby crying all the way from the hallway. They wouldn't have even had to lead me to where I was going. I could have zeroed in by following that cry. And it was sweet. And then later on in the day, I watched as tears were shed. And tears shed for a different reason. And I got to thinking about today, and I got to thinking about the subject of heaven. And I just knew, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that I ought to say to all of us today, God loves us. And there is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. And the Father, He waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. They call it in the sweet by and by. I've got grandparents that are there. Mrs. Owens and I, we have a child that is there. If any of them act up, I'll have more than one there. Boy, brothers and sisters and moms and dads and friends, preachers of my past that have passed on, I got to tell you something. Boy, they walked into heaven and they said, there are things missing up here. Well, what? There's no tears. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no death. I'm glad there's some things that just not going to bother us anymore in heaven. And we ought to envy those who beat us to it. They're there, and all these wonderful things are available to them. And some things they just don't have to face anymore. And thank God for heaven. It's a real place. Don't waver in your faith. God promised us it's there. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That's God saying, I've got, heaven is so wonderful. Explaining it to you in man's words is almost impossible. He said, it's so marvelous. It's so wonderful. It's just a fantastic place to be. He said, I don't know how to describe it all to you. He does give us some words. He says, there, let me tell you a bunch of the things that are not going to be there. Boy, if I started into the list of everything that's there, it is amazing. And we will fall short in describing how beautiful, how wonderful, and how glorious heaven is. If you're here today, and you're not born again, you need to get saved. Because there's only one way to get to heaven. And it's not the Catholic way, the Methodist way. It's the Bible way. It's the Bible way. You must realize you're a sinner. You must realize that there is a penalty for your sin, that is death, in hell, separated from God for all eternity. You must realize that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And then you turn to Him and you say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of that sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I'll trust You and You alone to get me to heaven someday when I die. And He will save you by you placing your faith in that very thing. And you can go to heaven someday. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, that's not a might be. That's a shall be salvation that's available. Some of you, you have loved ones. You have a mama, a grandma. You have loved ones that are in heaven. If you want to see them again, you too must be born again.
That's how you see. That's how you'll see them. Yesterday, at Betty's homegoing service, she asked me to make sure that I preached the gospel, and we did at the end. Again, I've already told you, a couple dozen people got born again, and I think sincerely, they want to see Betty again, and they will. And you'll see your loved one again too, only if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Let us all be encouraged. We have people that we know that are there today. And they're in good hands. They're in the hands of God, sheltered, safe, in the hands of God. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you were to die this very day, do you know for a fact, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, Pastor, I don't know that. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know, but I don't know. Pray for me, Pastor. I do want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure I would if I died today. If you'll raise your hand right now, I'll pray for you. Would you say, Preacher, pray for me. Don't know that I'm born again. This place called heaven sounds fantastic. I'd like to go. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Who here would say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I'd not lie to myself, not lie to church, not lie to you. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know that. Would you let God see your hand? You say, I'm saved. I know it. I know it for a fact. I'm born again. I've trusted Christ as Savior. You may put your hand down. If you didn't raise your hand and you need to be born again, let me advise you. If you leave your seat, you walk toward the front. I'll have someone greet you, take a Bible, and show you how to be born again. We won't embarrass you. But in a few minutes, someone can take a Bible and you will leave this church building on your way to heaven. Some of you have loved ones you want to see again. The way to do it is getting saved. So if you did not raise your hand about being saved, you need to get saved. There are others then. You have loved ones. Maybe some of you have loved ones that are approaching that threshold. Someday they'll pass over. They'll go on to glory. They'll die. And by the way, for the last time. And you say, Preacher, this is it. The sermon's encouraged me. I needed to be reminded of how wonderful heaven is. I needed this. And yet there are some others. You say, someone I love has passed on. Thank you for the reminder, Pastor. I needed to be reminded that they're there. And it's a place of eternal bliss and glory and no pain and no sorrow. And Jesus is wiping the tears out of their eyes and all is well. But God has comforted my heart and God has helped me through the sermon today. It's helped my heart. Would you let God see your hand so God knows? Would you put your hand up and let God see it? You may put your hand down. Maybe you just need the altar. Maybe somebody here just need to come and pray and ask God to give you a little extra strength or a little extra peace about whatever you face in life. We're going to have an altar call. And in a second, we're going to stand and the piano will begin to play. If you need to be saved, you come. Soul winners, you be ready in case we need you. But if you need to be saved, you come. You just come up here and you get my attention. It'll be simple. You won't be embarrassed, but we'll show you how to be born again. And others, if you need the altar for a moment, maybe you need to just come and say, thank God for heaven. Thank God. Thank God. My son, my daughter, my mom, my dad, my grandma, my grandpa. Thank God they're there. What a wonderful place for them to be. I call the sermon, God Shall Wipe Away All Tears, or Johnson's Heavenly Product, No More Tears. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, everyone standing. If you need a moment at this altar, you come. Maybe you just need to come and thank God for heaven. If you need to be saved, if you'll come, we'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again. There's some of you've been reminded of those that you love and maybe some that have passed on. Be encouraged. Heaven's a real place. Heaven's a real place. I know young people that their hearts get heavy. They lose grandma or grandpa. Well, boy, grandma and grandpa are in good shape if they're in heaven. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. They're in far better shape than us. To some, heaven is just a figment of someone's imagination, but to God, it is a reality. And I would not base what you believe on your emotion, but base what you believe on your faith in an eternal God. And God said there is a heaven, and God said, I've prepared a place for you. He said, there's not going to be death or sorrow or crying or a curse. There's no night. It's a wonderful place. It's called the city of the living God.
It's called the heavenly country, the place of many mansions. Some just call it glory. He said it's the place of our eternal inheritance, that land that is fairer than day, the place called paradise. We call it heaven, the throne of God, the holy place, the place of joy and reward and beauty, the place of everlasting life and the place of eternal life, the place where the angels are. Be strengthened, be encouraged. Heaven is real. Y'all look at me for just a second. We're all human, and we all have our human frailties, and we have our human weaknesses. But folks, I want to remind everybody here, God has no frailties and he has no weaknesses. He told me in this book that there's a place called heaven and it's real. I think we ought to believe him because he's God. And he knows what's going on. Have faith in God. Because there's a place called heaven. And it is so fantastic. We can't really describe it well. And help one another with that very thought.